Pastor.
You are welcome, sir.
Praise the Lord. Everybody has said, praise the Lord. Chulomond, hallelujah. The Lord bless you. The Lord reveal himself to you. His power, his love, his grace. Everything you need today on this glorious Sunday. And the blessing of the Lord be multiplied in every life in Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you today. We bless your name. What a great God you are. Mighty and powerful. Able to do all things. I pray that today you reveal yourself to everyone here, everyone there, everywhere, in Jesus' name. We're asking that today, the revelation of your word bring life and light to everyone. And we pray that everything you have provided will be ours today. Bless everyone at the Alpha location. Bless everyone all over the world connected with the service today. We know you have done it. We will experience it. Thank you, Lord. It is done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can sit down. Today we're looking at two important verses in Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, I'm reading from verse 10. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And when he came to the city Jerusalem, that was not his first time of coming there. He had passed through Jerusalem. He had taught many people in Jerusalem. He had healed many people in Jerusalem. He had saved many people in Jerusalem. And yet there were people that did not know. And so they were asking, who is this? Don't let that surprise you. He was with the disciples 3 years, and then Philip said, show us the Father. And then he said, Philip, have you been so long with me and you do not know me? All those people were Christ. They didn't fully know Jesus. Yes, they knew him as Savior. They knew him as Master. They knew him as the Lord. They knew him as the healer, redeemer, and the deliverer. At the end of 3 years, they were saying, who is this? When he calmed the sea, what a man is this? When he walked on the sea, who is this? Everyone that has known Jesus will be asking the question. You know him, you don't know all of him. You know him, you have not experienced all his power. And so you are asking, after 3 years of following the Lord, who is this? Paul the Apostle, he had become Brother Saul, born again. In Damascus, he already started preaching. They brought him to the apostles in Jerusalem. They saw he was going in and out of them. And he said, at last I was born out of due time. Experientially, evidently, he knew the Lord. The Lord even spoke to him. And then after I became an apostle, he said that I may know him. And I want to announce to you today, you're born again, you're saved. You're a child of God, you are going to the kingdom of God. You are on your way to heaven. You know Jesus as Savior. You know Jesus as Lord. There is still a question on your lips. Who is this? Anywhere you are in the world, the important question on your lips, who is this? Look at verse 11. In verse 11, and the multitude said, this is Jesus the prophet. The people who had had contact with him, the people who had known him a bit, the people who had contacted him in the power and revelation that he brought from heaven, they said, this is Jesus, the prophet. They were limited in their understanding though. They said, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. The prophet of the whole of Israel. The prophet of all the world. The prophet in every generation. The prophet that the Father had sent and said, I'll put my word in his mouth. Many people are limited in their understanding of who Jesus is. That's why this morning we want to consider, who is this? Jesus the prophet, Jesus the priest, and Jesus the prince. The message divides itself naturally to three parts. Number one, recognizing Jesus the prophet from the Father. Number two, receiving Jesus the priest cleansing as foretold. Number three, reigning with Jesus the king, walking by faith. The prophet, the priest, the prince. As prophet, he came to the Father to reveal the mind of the Father to the whole world. As priest, he came to cleanse the temple. His temple, your body, your life. We are the temple of God and the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he came to cleanse, he came to convert, he came to recreate. The priest Jesus cleansing as foretold. He is the prince that we are in, the prince of peace, the prince of all power, the prince of prophecy that comes to reign, and we shall reign with him. Reigning with Jesus the prince, walking by faith. Look at number one there. Recognizing Jesus the prophet from the Father. The people said, who is this? Opening the eyes of the blind, who is this? riding on an ass. Who is this? Commanding to bring that ass that never man had sat upon. Who is this? And once the people got there and they took that ass, what are you doing? The master has need of him, and they let go. Who is this man of authority? Reigning in life. And no problem ever slipped away from him. He solved all the problems and he did all things well. Who is this? And they said, this is the prophet. Not a prophet. The prophet. What does that mean? Deuteronomy chapter 18, I'm reading from verse 15. In Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee, capital P, a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. This is not just a prophet, the prophet of Nazareth, the prophet of Israel, the prophet from the Father for the whole world in all generations. Look at Acts chapter 3, reading from verse 22. It says in Acts 3 verse 22, he said, Moses truly said unto the fathers. It's referring to what we just read now in Deuteronomy. He said, Moses said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Like unto me, that will take all captives out of Egypt, that will get them through the water of the Red Sea. That's the reason we're giving the water baptism, is to show us, is to demonstrate to us, like Moses got them through the Red Sea, we go into the water, we don't die there, we come out on the other shore, and we're singing glory to God. He said, him shall ye hear in all things. That's Christ, that Jesus, the prophet, not only of Nazareth, not only of Israel, the prophet of the world in every generation. He will talk to you on all things, from salvation, justification, unto glorification, from the beginning of the Christian life unto the consummation, unto the end of the Christian life. Christ has the word and he will tell you all things. The woman at the well said, we know that the Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will show us and tell us and teach us all things. And Jesus said, I am that one you are talking about. The Father has sent me, and I'm showing the world all things they need to move from earth to heaven. He says, ye shall hear him in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Look at verse 23. And it says, and it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet, they are listening to other village prophets, they're listening to other township prophets, they're listening to other local prophets, they're looking to self-raised, self-made prophets of the earth. They're listening to prophets of different religions. And it says, and every soul, anywhere, everywhere in the world, every soul that shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Who is this? Is the prophet. The prophet from the Father. The prophet that will tell us all things that will move us from earth to heaven. What's the message of the prophet? What's the ministry of the prophet? What's the ministration of the prophet? This is very important. Hosea chapter 12. Reading from verse 13. Hosea chapter 12, verse 13. And by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. Second part, and by a prophet was he preserved. The ministry of the prophet, the message of the prophet, the ministration of the prophet. One, when you encounter the prophet sent by God, you are brought out of Egypt, brought out of your sin, brought out of your suffering, brought out of slavery. Those children of Israel, they were slaves many years, for centuries. They were slaves until the prophet Moses came to them and he brought them out of slavery. And then he went with them all through the wilderness. They were preserved. Pharaoh could not destroy them because of the ministry of the prophet Moses. The wilderness could not eat them up because Moses the prophet also preserved them. Their names could not be brought out of the land of the living. Until today, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob preserves them. Christ is the final message from God. Christ is the final prophet from God. By Jesus the prophet, we are brought out of our sin, out of our spiritual Babylon, spiritual Egypt. By the ministry, ministration, and the sacrifice, the mediatorship that he had from Calvary, were delivered out of the Egypt that was swallowed us up. By a prophet, the Lord brought them out of Egypt. And after salvation, the ministry of the prophet Jesus does not stop there. Sickness will like to destroy us. But Jesus, the prophet sent from the Father, by his stripes were healed. Satan and the demons will try to devastate us. But Jesus put him to death, who was the originator of death. And because he died, we live. By the prophet, we're brought out of sin, brought out of the world. By the prophet, we are preserved. And then he lives within us. So that all the things that will scatter our mind and scatter our brain, Jesus will say, peace be still. After salvation, if we were by ourselves, we would have been shattered and scattered, devastated, destroyed, would have died on the way to the promised land. But by the prophet, he brought us out. By the prophet, he preserved us. He will keep on preserving you. Day after day, the Lord will keep on preserving you. From one trial to one another temptation, the Lord will keep on preserving you. When Satan knocks at your door, the Lord will say, don't worry, don't open the door, I'll deal with him. He will deal with all serpentine, satanic affliction that may knock at your door in Jesus' name. By that prophet, Jesus the prophet, not just of Nazareth, not just of Jerusalem, not just of Israel, not just of that first century, all the centuries till the end of the world, Jesus the prophet, he will never leave you, he will never forsake you. Look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Sin will not destroy you, because Christ the Savior, Christ the Lord, and Christ the one that takes us out of our sin is there with you saying, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. He said he's coming back, and he's coming back, and we've been waiting. Lord Jesus, when will you come? Why has he not come? Because of you, because he wants to save you. He said, you must not perish. You must not end eternity, end in eternal death, eternal darkness. And he's waiting for you. That's why today he has not come. Here is your chance. You will not perish. You will live in Jesus' name. Second Peter chapter 3 verse 9. In Second Peter chapter 3 verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering towards, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He died for you. And if you are not saved yet, You are the one delaying his coming. It's love for you, it's compassion for you, it's mercy for you, it's desire for you that you will be saved and you will follow him to heaven and live in heaven forever. That's why he's been waiting. He's not slack concerning his promise, but he's waiting for you to come in. You will come, you will not perish. Number one, recognize Jesus the prophet from the Father in your heart. Recognize Jesus who comes to save from sin. Recognize Jesus the prophet from the Father who is able to preserve you from sinning. Recognize Jesus the prophet who will preserve you until he's coming again. Number two now is receiving Jesus the priest cleansing as foretold. When Jesus went in the temple and he cleansed the temple, he was fulfilling his role as the priest and the high priest. Look at Leviticus chapter 16, verse 30. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 30. It says, "For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you, to cleanse you." The priest shall make an atonement for you to cleanse you. The place of worship that Christ went to cleanse, that was a physical building. And God does not dwell in a temple made with hands. If he cleansed the physical temple, there's another temple where God dwells. It says, "Ye are the temple of God. I will dwell in you. I will walk in you." If he cleansed the physical temple, that will not live, that will not abide forever. The temple that will abide forever, that is your body, that is yourself. And Jesus said, "Behold, I knock at the door, and if anyone opens the door of his heart, I will come in." He said, "He that believes me and he loves me, I and my Father will come into him and abide and dwell in him." He says, "Know you not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, and you are not of yourself?" The temple of God, the temple of Christ, the temple of the Holy Spirit, that will live forever and ever. It's more important than the temple that Jesus said, "You see all the stones, not one will remain on one another. Everything will be destroyed and scattered." He cleansed that physical temple as a sign, as a symbol, as an event that took place, so that he will show you, "I cleansed that temple, and it's you are the next temple now, it will cleanse you." It says, they, on that day, shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. Look at verse 33 there. In verse 33 it says, and he shall make an atonement for holy sanctuary. And he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation, and for the altar. He shall make an atonement for the priests, even for the preachers and the pastors and the proclaimers. He is the one that makes the atonement for all of us and for all the people of the congregation. You receive him as the priest cleansing his temple. Have you noticed what he did when he got to that temple? All those sellers, he drove them out. That's one of the problems we have had in our lives. We're worshiping God. We're praying to God. If we're praying and we close our eyes, before 5-10 minutes, our hearts are wandering. Some birds are picking some things, and they're diverting us here, diverting us there, diverting us here. And Christ the priest came to cleanse our temple. All those noise, distractions you are hearing from inside you, he came to cleanse. He'll wipe them away. All those birds they were selling, and the animals they were selling, they were legitimate, because they were to take those things and sacrifice. Those who are coming from different parts of the nation, they couldn't be bringing all their animals and sacrifices. So a provision was made that they bring just money, and that's not heavy to carry, and then they'll buy the animal in their own time, and they will sacrifice. Legitimate, but he turned it to illegitimate. There are many things in our lives that are legitimate, but many times we take those legitimate things, it becomes illegal, it becomes unrighteous, it becomes illegitimate. Christ the priest has come that all those things in our lives that appeared legitimate, and then in our flesh, in our depravity, in our sinfulness, we're turning them to become illegitimate. Christ the priest will come. He makes an atonement for you, and he cleanses everything away from your life. All those things they were selling turned the house of God, the temple of God, that should be a place of prayer, where the incense of prayer will rise up to God, it made it unfit for praying. When you receive Christ as your priest, there are things in your life, they might be legitimate, but you make them illegitimate. And it makes your temple unfit for prayer. That the prayer cannot rise up pure to the presence of God from a confused heart, a fleshly life. You make yourself unfit for prayer. But the priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, your temple will be the house of prayer, where prayer will ascend unto God, and there'll be no hindrance at all, because it's coming from the pure altar of your heart. That's what he came to do. That as our priest, he cleanses us every time, so that the purpose of God for your temple, for this temple, will be realized in heaven, will be recognized in heaven, and will have acceptance in heaven. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 29. In 2 Chronicles chapter 29, we're looking at verse 5. And said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves, and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. The temple of Israel had three parts. There's the outside court, there's the holy place, there is the holy of holies. Our lives, our bodies, our personality has three parts. The body, the soul, the spirit, the outward part. And then next to that, how we feel, how we think, and the purpose we have, the soul. And then we have the heart, the inner man, the holy of holies, the center of the seat of the Almighty in our lives. As we're walking around in the street, we see many things. If it stops there, no problem. As we're walking around, we hear many things. If it stops there, no problem. That's the outer court, the outward part. We do not allow all those things we see, all those things we sense, all those things we hear, to go beyond seeing it, to go into our soul. When the water is outside the boat, no problem. When the boat is on the water, no problem. If there is leakage and the water outside the boat seeps in into the boat, beware, problem has come. When the water enters the engine of the boat, now we have real problem. That's why it says that when the priest comes, all those Levites, and when those people who are charged with the cleansing of the temple, they go inside the temple, outward side is cleansed, and then it says the holy place. We're going inside now, we take all the rubbish and everything out of the holy place. It's the work, it's the duty, the responsibility of our priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take away all those impurities from our body, from our soul, from our spirit, our heart. Look, look at verse 15 there. In verse 15, And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves. If you are not sanctified, you cannot go to another person, another temple, and say, be ye holy and be ye sanctified. That will just drop on the ground. That's not valid before the Lord. The word will not have the spirit back in it. It will be spiritless, it will be purposeless, it will be useless, it will be fruitless. You have not allowed the priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, to cleanse you, to purge you, to sanctify you, and then you say, holiness, holiness. And then you take word of holiness to another person, it will fall to the ground. It will not have any value. You must be sanctified first before you can tell another person effectively, be holy, be pure, be sanctified. They sanctified themselves first, and then they came according to the commandment of the king by the words of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord, to cleanse the temple of the Lord. Look up at me here. If Jesus Christ was exactly like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he will not have any right to cleanse the temple. But because he was different, the Son of God, the Holy Son of God, the sanctified Son of God, and the perfect Son of God, that is what gave him the authority to do that. He has not given that ministry unto us. If we're dead here, we cannot clean up other people. If we're sinful, we cannot help other people get saved. If we are defiled, we cannot help other people who are defiled to be cleansed. Look at verse 16 there. In verse 16 it says, and the priest, look at that, and the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse. And to cleanse it, and they brought out all the uncleanness that were found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord, and the Levites took it and to carry it out abroad, and they brought it to a brook Kidron to make it go without coming back. What temple are you talking about this morning? Your own temple. What temple should you concentrate on cleansing? Your own temple. Which temple is God taking from the earth and taking to heaven? Your own temple. All these buildings will leave them behind. When the rapture takes place, all this stage where I am now, they will not be raptured, because God has not promised the physical building to be raptured to take to heaven. The mansion we will have in heaven, I go to prepare a place for you. It's much more beautiful than this. So we don't need to take this one to heaven. The one that will go to heaven is your temple where you are. Make it clean by the cleansing power of the Lamb. First Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16, he said, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, where God abides, where God dwells, where God observes everything that is done in that temple?" Many believers are not conscious of the presence of God, and they say things they will not say if they knew that God was there observing everything they are saying. Many people are not conscious of the presence of God. They think something defiling. They think something sinful. If they knew that God was watching all their thoughts, because he dwells inside the temple, they will not be thinking and doing and touching what they are touching. You see, once the members don't know, they say once their pastor don't know, they say once their leaders do not know, they behave this way, they behave that way. It never comes to their mind that anywhere they are, that the God who occupies, who lives in the temple, is right there. It doesn't matter whether I know or not, I'm not the cleanser of your temple. It doesn't matter whether I know or not, because I'm not the one that is going to rapture the pure temple unto God in heaven. Even if I knew, what will I do? But for you to understand that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and that he wants that temple clean and cleansed, purged and pure, ready for heaven when the Lord will blow the trumpet, when the angel will blow the trumpet, and we shall be caught up together with the other saints in heaven. He said, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" Look at verse 17. He said, "If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy." Which temple ye are? The priest, the high priest, has come. He has made atonement on the cross of Calvary. He has done everything there is to do to forgive the past, to set you free at the present, to fortify you in the future, that your temple will be holy unto the Lord. He cleanses the temple, he preserves the temple, and he makes us holy and righteous for the coming of the Lord. And he says, after all the provision has been made, after the possibility of salvation and holiness, the possibility is here. After you have Christ who has died on the cross of Calvary, and he shows you very clearly I'm here to cleanse, to purge, to sanctify your temple. If anyone with all that knowledge remains in impurity and remains in the uncleanness and remains in the unsanctified stage, can you blame God if God says, look at my word, whosoever defiles the temple, him shall God destroy. Ezekiel 36 verse 25. It says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Will I cleanse you? He has sent Jesus Christ to make the atonement. I sent Jesus Christ to cleanse us and to take every uncleanness, every kind of filthiness away from us, to make us clean, to make us pure, to make us perfect, and to make us free from every defilement in thought, in mind, even in the natural and the physical. Look at verse 26 there. It says, and a new heart will I give unto you. The old heart is so dirty, it's not going to patch it. The old heart is so defiled, and the habit has entrenched all the filthiness there, and so it's not going to just adjust it and repair it. It's going to give a new heart unto everyone who comes. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you an heart of flesh. And then in verse 27, and I will put my spirit within you. There are people that, you know, because they don't sense the presence of the Spirit of God. Oh, they'll say, I forgot. That's what God convicted me about last time, but I've forgotten. That's why he said he will put his spirit in you. And when the Spirit has come, it will bring into your remembrance everything I have told you. The Spirit is the one that reminds us. Don't allow that thought to take root. It will defile you. Don't continue watching and gazing on that thing you are looking at. It will defile you. Don't follow that thought that came to your heart now with action. It will defile you. After cleansing us, he gives us a new heart, and he puts the Spirit within us. And that Spirit will remind us, this is the way, walk ye in it. And I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Ephesians chapter 5. We're looking at verse 25. It said, Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 26, he then tells us there, he says that he might sanctify and cleanse it for the washing of water by the word. Jesus the priest, the prophet, he declares to us all the mind of God. The priest, he cleanses our heart, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Verse 27 tells us that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. What's wrinkle? What's wrinkle? As we're getting older and you look at our faces and even other parts of our body, we see the wrinkles. They are the mark of the old man. And when you come to Christ, he saves you, he forgives you, he has made atonement for you. Now you come to him to be sanctified. He cleanses you. He takes the depravity and the sign and the mark of the old man. He takes that away from your life. That he might cleanse us from all the spot and all the wrinkle and any such thing. But that he should be holy and without blemish. Number one is the prophet. Number two is the priest. Number three is the king, the prince. Number three now, reigning with Jesus, the prince walking by faith. That's what he comes to do in our lives. In Matthew chapter 21, reading from verse 4, all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, look at verse 5. Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, sitting upon an ass, and he called the fowl of an ass. How those people shouted Hosanna. How those people spread abroad their clothes. They say, King of Israel, walk on that. How those people put the palm fronts and they allowed Jesus to go over. And there was excitement in the city. Can I tell you, many of those people that laid their clothes on the ground for Jesus, for their ass to walk over, many of those people that shouted Hosanna to the King that comes in the name of the Lord, one week after, they said, crucify him. Many of those people said unto Pilate, we have no king but Caesar. Anybody can shout for one day. Anybody can cry Hosanna one day. Anybody can lay their clothes on the ground one day. what happens 1 week after, 1 month after, 1 year after, for the rest of their lives, that is what will tell the final story in eternity. Many of those people that shouted, "The King coming," it's just a verbal repetition of the prophecy that had been given. It didn't enter their heart. It didn't change their heart. And now they are not going to reign with Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Only the people that own him as King, accept him as King, surrender their lives to him as King, as the Lord of their lives for time and eternity. Those are the people that will reign with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How does that happen? In 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 11. It is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we allow the beast in us to die as he died, we shall live with him. In every temple, there's a John, there's a Judas. In every temple, there's a John, there's a Judas. And if John and Judas live, abide in the same temple, John is quiet. John will not strive. John will not pass any comment. But Judas, that man, he'll get rid of John there. In your temple, there is a John, there's a Judas. The thought of John, the life of John, the gentleness and the meekness and the virtue of the Lord Jesus Christ, like John in your heart, wants to express itself. But if you allow the Judas inside that same temple, and you don't allow the power of God to destroy, make dead that Judas, he'll take the upper hand, and he will be the one that people know in your life. Hey, John is so quiet, he's so gentle, and he's so meek, and he's so loving, and he's so subdued. He's not going to push himself, and Judas there will clamp him down. All we can see of you is the Judas that is always expressing himself. When you have a powerful lion came that is caged inside you, and you want to kill that lion, you cannot not open that cage. That lion will come out and crush you. You lock that cage. That lion remains there. You don't feed him. You don't respond to him. It's roaring. I need food. I need water. You leave him there alone. What you cannot kill with an instrument of iron, hunger, thirst, will kill him there. When that attitude of Judas is inside you, it's not allowing John to express the love and the compassion and the mercy and the meekness of the Lord. You starve the Judas in you to death. You don't pay attention to that Judas inside you. You don't pay attention to the screaming of that habit inside you. You don't pay attention to the anger of the lion inside you. By not feeding that Judas, by not feeding that lion, he will die a natural death. And then John, being alone now, will manifest the love of Christ, the goodness of the Lord, will manifest the character and the attributes of the Lord from you. Well, no. So you can be this loving, so you can be this pure, and so you can be this prayerful. Because the Judas competing with John inside you there is gone, and the virtues of the Lord will remain in your life. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, all those negative traits, if they are dead with Christ, all the sinful fleshly things that people know us for, that you know yourself for, all those things, when they die with Christ, then we live with him. Those characters are built up a long time. Character of filthiness. The character of drunkenness. The character of the flesh. The works of the flesh. They have been built up a long time. Yes, I know. Yes, I know. That lion has fed and is now big, and it has become strong. By neglect, by starving, by not giving attention to that lion in the cage, by himself, it will die without you touching it. And that's the only time we can live with him. And live like him. And live for him. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we suffer, what kind of suffering is that? If somebody, for example, has been smoking for many, many years, the body is now acclimatized and used to that habit of smoking. And if, as you decide, no more tobacco, that's what is called the withdrawal symptoms. That as you withdraw from that tobacco, your system that is used to tobacco will be crying out. It will be suffering, almost unbearable. But if you say, tobacco, you are not in charge of my life, I am in charge, the suffering will be there for some time. But as you suffer that, and you say, I say, I'm in charge, no more tobacco in this temple. When you are used to alcohol, and your system takes that alcohol every time, the habit is so built up, that your body will say, even if there's no food, I will manage that. Even if there's no other thing, I will tolerate that. But alcohol, absence of alcohol, I cannot tolerate. And once you decide, no more alcohol, your body will fight to bring it back. It's in that process of fighting to bring it back, you will suffer the absence of that alcohol for some time. But you say, this is a matter of heaven or hell. Whatever suffering I go through, and I don't go to hell, and I get to heaven, fine. When you have a sin partner that he is the person you've been running with, boyfriend, girlfriend, man friend, woman friend, when you have gone on with him, with her, for a long time, now you come to Christ, you want him to act as the prophet from the Father unto you. You want him to minister to you as the priest, as it was foretold. And the Lord said, if you are going to have me, you cannot have her. If you have her, I'm not going to be a rival with her. I'm not going to be a rival with your lover. I'm going to stay here. But when you're ready to forsake that man, that woman, and Christ alone will be the Lord of your life and the interest of your life, then come. You, when you leave that man, you leave that woman, there will be the suffering because of that absence in your life. You will feel it. But if you suffer with him, then you will reign with him. If you deny him and you say, it's my, you know, girlfriend, boyfriend, man friend, woman friend, want, if you deny him, he will also deny you. We choose to live with him. We choose the throne with him. We choose to reign with the Lord here on earth and in heaven. You will reign with him. You will reign with him. But you must forsake all those rivals and say, Christ will be the only one. I submit to you. I give myself to you. And whatever the absence of those things bring in your life, you're ready to suffer that so that that heaven you will get there. Revelation chapter 20 verse 6. In Revelation chapter 20 verse 6, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You are in with him. You were in with him. Let me hear your amen. And if you want to reign with him, You take his word wholeheartedly. At the word from the Father from heaven. And he has said, heaven and earth shall vanish, shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And he calls you to make his word a priority in your life. And he is the priest that cleanses your temple. You want to tell the Lord today, Lord, cleanse me, wash me, purge me, purify me, cleanse my temple. And then you make up your mind, you're going to follow Christ. The thought of Judas, the habit of Judas that is shouting at you, and then you are going the wrong direction, you say, I'll stab that Judas to death. Don't suffer for uncleanness, for filthiness. Don't suffer because you are giving to the flesh. Don't suffer because you are stubborn. There are people that suffer because they are stubborn. The terrible pain because of their choice in life. But you say, I'm not going to suffer and yet get myself to hell. If I suffer at all, I want to suffer for righteousness. I want to suffer for sanctification. I want to suffer for Christ and suffer for what he stood for. And I give myself unreservedly unto the Lord. And no rival in my life against the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my prophet. He is my priest. He is my priest, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And the Lord himself who cleansed that temple. He will cleanse your temple today. Your life will have a splendor, will have a kind of glory that you have never known before. Will rise up now and really pray unto the Lord. Want the Lord to come as the prophet and speak to our hearts. Or want the priest to come and cleanse our temple. Want the king to come and get us to the place where we'll be able to reign with him forever and ever. Pray, open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer.